Okay.
So this session was very confusing, but very helpful for me personally, because I had those like five kind of topics that I thought would be very helpful, and it seems to very like confuse everybody. So I think it's a good thing that we have a discussion and clarify some things that we might think that as the media literacy community we think alike, but actually there are some differences and different ways of looking at it. And that's the point of doing a statement. So the way it worked, those three groups, each one wrote like paragraph or just some kind of notes, which will try to make sense. You have access to this document. So please share and write comments and help us articulate it better, okay? So we're going to try to see each one of the group, what was the discussion and what were the key points. We have like 10 minutes to wrap up the this session. So this group was talking about the purpose and the outcomes. Why should the media literacy community even talk about fake news, and what should be the outcome of practicing media literacy with fake news?
Yes, I made the mistake of admitting that I don't teach media literacy. And so I was the one who was appointed to reflect upon what our conversation was. And it was a very, it was a great conversation. It was very wide-ranging, and I don't know how closely we stuck to the script. We don't really have a paragraph. It's more of a haiku. The concepts that I think really interested all of us, and I think if you took these five words or groups of words and put them in the hands of somebody who was a media literist, they would be able to come up with a nice paragraph. We were really interested in differentiation. We were interested in different types of news. We talked a bit about the democratizing access. Access to stuff behind the gate, crowdsourcing editorial decisions, and ultimately who gets to be the experts. These were some of the ideas that we bounced around.
Is there anybody else in this group that wants to share like their aha moment or things that they learned from this discussion or things that they would like to continue work on thanks to this discussion?
What was the last one?
Who gets to be the experts?
How come that matters for media literacy educators and for democracy?
It's a credibility issue of what you can trust and what you can't trust.
It's also an active engagement by the citizenry in the content of their own, of their news.
I think it's also important when we live in a diverse society and certain segments of the population have been the ones who've been making the decisions traditionally, historically, and have had the power to make those decisions, and that's had a big impact on what those decisions are, broadly.
I would have connected to what I was saying before. Who gets to be the journalist? Because we're using the word for way too many roles.
Thank you. So the second group, responsibility and target audience, who is this statement targeting for, and who is the target of media literacy education about fake news?
All right, so I'm going to read what we wrote in the Google document. We spent most of our time discussing, debating, what do we mean by the word responsibility, and what do we mean by target audience? Not as clear as maybe it should be. So it is targeted to people who are concerned about fake news, but this is much broader than this because it is about the media literacy economy and the ways in which news and information have changed in the digital environment. It's the practice of teaching media literacy. The statement is writing to a person who's concerned about fake news or media literacy and how to go about gaining media literacy skills. What is the responsibility to pass this along in a responsible way and to have the responsibility to ask key questions to critically evaluate news and information? What is the source and purpose of the message? Conversations about how the participatory nature of the digital environment changes what news is. News is created to be shared now. It prioritizes emotion, short form, video. The ecosystem of likes and shares changes how news is created and what news becomes, and what news becomes most important. So then what's the responsibility and the target audience? The people we're writing the statement for, the people we're intending to teach. What is responsibility? To educate, to make good content, the responsibility to be a responsible citizen. What do we mean when we talk about participation, and what are those roles? There are creators, consumers, endorsers, circulators. So sometimes benign participation can actually be quite powerful, because who sends the message, and why did they send the message, and what is your part in it? So why is responsibility, why is it the responsibility of media literacy educators? Media literacy educators bring so many different perspectives, and when you have all of these different areas of expertise, do many people have all of the areas, or are you getting just one? There's partisanship, emotional issues, and the ability to act on it in the digital environment. We don't want to get stuck on content of just true or false and stop there. We often do, and we stop digging in deeper to the hows and whys. So what is news anyway? And creating a common language of what does this term mean, and what kinds of information and education are we talking about?
Thank you. And that's a great segue to the third group, which is the practice. So how do we create common language about news?
Well, we didn't really focus specifically on news, so we got away from it as well. But I think the broad theme of what we talked about was practical things that can be done and practices that support them. So I think we haven't gotten a paragraph yet. We've gotten a lot of notes, which I promise Yanti I will put into a paragraph, priority number one. But what we're talking about here is, I guess some big things is, this is not just in media literacy classes. We think that this needs to be across the curriculum, right? That yes, indeed, of course, you know, as media literacy scholars, talking about the media are incredibly important, but or as non-media literacy scholars. But this is ways in which we can use the questions of critical media literacy to talk about all topics. And one of the things we talked about specifically was math and science, how to make sense of polling, stats, numbers, etc. That this is also not just a problem of youth. We need to consider education and learning beyond the classroom. A lot of what we talked about was this idea of asking questions, right? Need to question how info is accessed. How do you know what you know? Where did it come from? How did it get to you? How to be skeptical and discerning versus being cynical. How to be credible as a person and as a audience member, but also how to judge credibility of what you're, you know, watching, reading, listening to, etc. Taking the time to evaluate information, be involved in knowing the truth, that even quote-unquote regular people, right, not just journalists, no matter what definition of journalist we're using, that even, you know, the rest of us want the scoop, if you will, and want to be the leader of information. Talking about perspective versus data, back to the basics of backing up claims with evidence from the text, and that this needs to be extended to, you know, contemporary media text as well, electronic, social, digital, etc. Never, ever, ever can we forget context, right? How do we put the text in its context and make sense in that way? Need to be critical in our thinking and our action. And of course, this is a global issue, right? This isn't just about the U.S. And how do other cultures make sense of their media, or make sense of American-made or American-distributed media? What does it mean that the majority of mainstream media and certainly social media are owned by American companies, and certainly, more specifically, owned by middle-aged white American men? How do global audiences and users make sense of this material? And in large part because so much of what we're doing is social media or digital media, we absolutely need to have a better understand of the algorithmic process, how to learn how our topics and our subjects get to us.
So we have like one more minute, I think. And again, the idea is, it was clear for me when I was sitting with the target audience group, and it was like, so target audience of whom, like what, of the statement, and then I was trying to articulate what was my initial thought with the statement. It was, you know, somebody who's going to go on Google and going to write fake news, media literacy, and they don't know really what to look for, and they're going to stumble into this like statement, and oh, so that's an interesting kind of like resource. So the idea is, for me, was to hook people who are, as we said before, we're using the fake news to bring people into the media literacy discourse and have them understand those critical questions that we're talking about, those practices that we're talking about. So I invite you to take active part in this statement. You have access to this document. We're going to hopefully have better understanding of timeline and how we're going to do it, and then we're going to share it with you if you want to take part of it. So thank you very much.
Do we want to? Do you want to try to capture the names of the people who worked on this, or anything like
so
that?
So I would suggest, because we have like five computers with the Google Doc, if you want to either share with yourself with your email, so you can share with yourself the Google Doc, or put your name anywhere, your name or email, I'll take it and contact you if you want to be part of this group. So just put, and you can later on come and put your name in the document. Thank you, Bill.
Yeah. Any closing thoughts? And I'll also post this audio on the wiki page,
that's probably great.
It'll end up there too.
Yeah. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
Thanks, everybody. Good collaboration.
Yeah. So this took place on what is the date today anyway?
The 5th.
May 5th at 25 Broadway in downtown New York. An event put on by the CUNY Brooklyn Media Literacy Operation. And there's about, 25 people in the room, split into three groups to come up with that summary that you just heard.